chapter number 2. Right before the book of Psalms, Job chapter number 2. The story of Job, I'd imagine most are pretty familiar with it. It's a legendary story. By that I mean it's just well known. It is absolute truth. Well-known story in so many lessons, and Job has become the symbol of suffering but holding your faith in the Lord. And some believe that Job is would be a grandson of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 46, it says that Job was Issachar's son. Could have been a different Job, but either way, we know that he is one of the older characters in the Bible. And we learn a lot about Job from a glance at chapter 1 and verse number 1 in Job before we read our text. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. When the Holy Spirit has written in the Word of God that you are perfect and upright and you fear God and you eschewed evil, you're a pretty good guy, all right? Unbelievable that it was said of him. He's a godly man, all right? He's a very godly man. He obviously loved the Lord. There's more we can learn about him. We read in the next few verses of chapter 1 that he had 7 sons. He had 3 daughters, had a total of 10 children. Very wealthy back in that day. Wealth was counted by your possessions. And he had 7,000 sheep, the Bible says here in chapter 1, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and more. But he was one of the greatest men in the East. Great family. He prayed for his family in chapter 1 and verse number 5. So when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Talking about his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He prayed for his family. He prayed for his sons. He prayed for his daughters. He was just a godly man. And so at one point, the devil, who the Bible says all the way in the book of Revelation, is an accuser of the brethren. He loves to point fingers at God's people. He was standing before God in chapter 1, verse number 8. You can see that. The Lord is speaking to Satan. And the Lord tells the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm giving you Travis Burke's commentary here. And the devil said, well, of course he serves you. Look how you're blessing him. He said, I guarantee if you remove your hand of blessing from his life and let me do a few things, he'll turn his back on you. He'll reject you. So God, knowing who the type of man that Job was, he allowed the devil access. But the one thing he said is, you cannot touch Job himself. But everything else you have access to. And the devil went about and some terrible things happened. All those oxen and all of his donkeys, and they were all stolen. All the sheep were killed in a weird accident. Another enemy from a foreign land came in and stole all 3,000 of those camels. And person after person, messenger after messenger would come in, and they would tell them about the things that had just happened. Someone knocked on the door and said, I hate to tell you this, but all 3,000 camels had just been stolen. Another guy knocked on the door, and all the sheep, fire fell from the sky, and they're all dead. All those oxen, they've been stolen and taken by a different enemy. Boy, tragedy after tragedy, but then there's a knock at the door. The messenger said, I don't know what to say. Our children were all in this house together, and storm just blew out of nowhere, blew against the house, the entire house collapsed. And all 10 of your children are dead. The Bible says that Job just fell to the ground. You can read it in chapter number 1. And And he says in verse number 20, then Job arose and went and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the man Job just stands out in the story, is so legendary like it is, because I don't know I could have done that. But Job was a man that loved God, was close to God. The devil comes back around, and again, the Lord speaks to him, and, you know, Travis Burke's commentary again, the Lord says, hey, how about Job? Satan said, well, yeah. But you let me touch him. I guarantee he'll turn his back on you. The Lord said, but he's held fast his integrity. Everything was removed and destroyed. And Satan said, well, let me at him. And the Lord said, you cannot kill him. See this in chapter number 2. Verse number 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, and all that a man hath will he give us for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, he'll curse thee to thy face. The Lord said, verse number 6, unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Alright, you can touch him. Cannot kill him, but you can touch him. And the Bible says, in the time that follows immediately, that Job was covered in boils from his top of his head to the bottom of his feet. They weren't just boils, they hurt. They were extremely painful. He took some broken pottery, and the only relief he had was to take the broken pieces, and I hate to be gross, but the broken pieces of the pottery and literally scrape off all these boils. He was hurting, he was moaning, he was in pain. And all they could do is try to scrape these boils off of him. It's at this point in the story that we're introduced to, in chapter number 2, verse number 8, he's scraping these boils, and we're introduced to his wife. It says in verse number 8, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. How do you get a sermon, Pastor? You pray, you seek the Lord, you read the Word of God, you study the Word of God. God leads you to different passages, and God led me this week to Job and specifically his wife. I just thought about the story, meditated on it, and began to read. And Job's wife, she's that character that, you know, one thing that we, you know, I always say, you know, that she came in and she said, you know, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And I've always, like, kind of said, boy, man, look at Job's wife. She gave up. But after studying, and Lord, I know the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture this week, and I've thought, and I've been reading that, I think I owe an apology. I said, well, Satan was trying to use her, and he probably was. I've heard people say she had a great lack of faith. I don't know that she did. She's hurting. I want to talk about Job's wife this morning. She's hurting. She's hurting bad. I've noticed, and I guess most men married would understand this, that when you're going through something, and I know this is true in my own life, that, you know, when I'm greatly hurting over a situation, or, you know, someone has hurt me or something like that, and not only do I hurt my wife, it hurts my wife too. But also, not only for a wife does it hurt her, whatever's going on, but she also hurts for her husband. She was hurting. I've always just thought that Job had these boils on him. But I want to ask you to consider something. I have always said, and I believe this with all my heart, when God told Satan that he could not touch Job, he destroyed everything except Job and his wife. He wasn't allowed to touch Job's wife either. And I believe that's because when a husband and wife are married, the Bible says they're one flesh. And so when God says you can't touch Job, he wasn't allowed to touch his wife either. And everything else was destroyed or taken. But then he said, you can touch Job, but you cannot kill him. And Job was afflicted with what? Sore boils. Just hurt and agony. And I thought about it and prayed about it this week and was thinking on this. If I hold to that same thinking that they were one flesh, who's to say she didn't have the boils too? Right? If they're one flesh and he wasn't allowed to touch her when God said don't touch him, and now he's given permission, you say, well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't. But what if she had the same thing and she's hurting? I'll give you a little proof of that thought too. She comes in verse number 9 and she says, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall, what's the next word? We receive good at the hand of God. And shall, what's the next word? We not receive evil. She was going through it just as much as he was. She was hurting. His friends come in the next verse, verse number 11. His friends come in and they try to help Job. They say all kinds of things. And I think you know the story of Job, that their counsel wasn't the best. I think they tried, but their counsel wasn't the best. We'll come right back to Job chapter 2, but look at Job 42, right? A few pages over. When all is said and done, and Job, he's learned what God wants him to learn, and the lessons, and in Job chapter 42 and verse number 7, Job 42 and verse number 7, says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. There's the three friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. The three friends that spoke up and said all that they said, the Lord rebukes them at the end of the story and says, you were wrong and you need to get right. But he never rebukes Job's wife. God never corrects Job's wife. God never says, Job, you know, or Mrs. Job, you were wrong in what you said. So I thought, what's the lesson here? I know God directed me to study Job's wife. I know this is a different kind of sermon, but I think there's some lesson here. I want you to just catch a few things, because this is real life. Number one, her hurt was real. And it sounds like a simple statement, but stay with me. Everything that we read that happened to Job, she went through too. Probably because the way that a wife is, she hurt for Job along with her own hurt. Job's wife had lived a comfortable life. He was very wealthy and it's all gone now. Every lady in this room, I think, can understand what I'm about to say. She's standing there listening to her husband moan and cry out as he scrapes the boils from off his body, the pain that he's in. She's standing there weeping, standing next to 10 freshly dug graves of her own children. She hurt. The hurt was real. Whether she had the boils or not, she was hurting. In this life that we live, because we live in a sin-cursed world, there's a lot of hurt. People in this room are experiencing hurt. There are people all around us. We've all gone through great times of hurt. That's why Jesus said these words in the Gospels, "In this world you shall have tribulation." But he said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Because we live in a sin-cursed world, there's going to be trials. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be grief. There's going to be sorrow. And like Job's wife, all of us are going to have times when we suffer loss, when we are grieving for our loved ones, when we're standing around a freshly dug grave, when we are hurting and our heart is crying out, when the people we love are hurting and they're sick and they're headed towards death, and we go through all of these different types of things. Hurt is real. We all experience it. The Lord, He has overcome this world. And that's why the Bible teaches in Revelation chapter number 21, when we finally get to heaven, He will wipe all tears away. And there will never be no more crying or sorrow or pain. All these former things will be passed away. Won't that be a great day? But her hurt was real. But I want you to consider Job's wife number two, that her commitment was real. Her commitment was real. You see, what do you mean, her commitment? I think all of us understand this. You do not have the man Job that we read about, perfect and upright, man that he exemplifies. You'd be awful hard pressed to have that kind of man without a wife that stands behind him. A wife that believes in these things and stands for these things. In Job chapter number 2 and in verse number 5, whenever Satan says these words, he says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee." It's interesting, that's the same phrase in Genesis chapter number 2, when God formed the woman, that Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." I believe the devil knew his attack upon Job was also just as much an attack upon his wife. But here's my point in this. If they catch us, you never left him. You never divorced him. You never ran away. She didn't run to one of her friends. She didn't go back to her mom's house. She was committed to her family. Even in the great hurt and great trials, he was committed to her family. We live in a world today where people will just give up on their homes and their families like it's nothing. Christian brothers and sisters, fight for your marriage. Don't walk away from your marriage. I knew it would be on a shadow of a doubt the Lord may preach this message. And I prayed in Sunday school. I asked the Sunday school class to pray because I feel like this is an important message. I believe there's a whole lot of distractions the devil's trying to send our way too. Let's pray real quick. Father, Lord, I love you. I just pray you take the remainder of this message and help us with it, please. Put a hedge about us in your name, I pray. Amen. She was committed to her family. Listen, when the going gets rough, you don't just walk away. You made a covenant to God. Amen. You made a covenant to God. For better or worse. Rich or poor. Sickness and health. People just treat marriage like it's some working arrangement nowadays. As long as it's good for both of us, we'll stick with it. You're committed to that. And Job's wife was committed. She didn't just walk away. She didn't just run back to mom. She didn't run to a friend. Oh, she hurt. And it was so hard, I can't imagine what she was going through. But at the end of this book, she's standing there rejoicing with her husband. Amen. She was committed to her family. She was committed to her faith. She was committed to her faith. I believe she loved God. I believe when you read in Job chapter number 2 and in verse number 10, after she says, "Doth thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Verse number 10, look at Job's words. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Yes. Yeah, he was yelling at her. No. Read his words. He's saying this. That's not how you normally say. That's not how you normally speak. This is not you. You're speaking as one of the foolish women. You say, well, she shouldn't have said it. You go through what she was going through. I believe she was a person that had knowledge. And I believe she was a wise lady. Because at this point, Job said, this isn't like you, honey. You're not speaking like you normally do. She loved the Lord, I believe. She asked him in her question in verse number 9, dost thou still retain thine integrity? That word integrity is found 5 times in the Bible, 4 of which are in this passage of Scripture. Now, the word integrity in the word and what it means in the definition is this, innocence. That's what the word means, innocence. And so when she asks the question, dost thou still retain thine integrity? I don't think she's saying, oh, just quit, give up on God and die. I don't think that's what she's saying. I believe she's asking because it's a question, right? Isn't it a question mark? Dost thou still retain thine integrity, Job? And this question had to be asked. Are you still saying you're right with God? Is God chastening? Is there something you have in your life? Are you still, Job, retaining your integrity? Are you still saying you're innocent? Are you still saying that there's nothing in your life and God's not doing this to chasten? Because if you are, curse God and die. If you are and you're hiding things, get it right and face the consequences. I don't think she's being mean and hateful. I truly don't. God never rebukes her in any way for what she says. And Job even says, you're speaking as one of the foolish women. You're assuming. And then he corrects the thinking and saying, we receive good. We receive bad, evil. We don't deserve anything. God's good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I believe she truly was seeking a reason for all this, and no sin was revealed. So she was committed to her faith. She was committed to her family. And I believe she was committed to her future. Hey, what do you mean her future? She said, just curse God and what? Die. Because you can read later in Job, he believed, he knew the Lord. He believed in a resurrection. He believed in all these things. And I believe that she was saying, Job, we're hurting. We've got nothing left. But we're going to a place where there is no more hurt. It's okay. Any mother would say this. I'm just ready to see my kids again. Right? I'll never have to face any more hurt again. Job, I don't know what else is going on, but I'm done. She could say that because she knew what waited. It was almost a comforting thought. But her hurt was real. Her commitment was real. But I want you to see this thirdly. Her reward was real. When the book ends, and go back down to Job 42. When the book ends, Job never turns his back on God. He had to learn some lessons, and God speaks to him in chapter 39, 40, 41. And he asked Job a bunch of questions. Where were you when things were created, Job? Where were you when the animals were formed and the skies were formed? Who knows all these things? And Job had to be reminded who God is. And Job had to be reminded that God never makes mistakes. And Job had to be reminded that God is eternal and there's nothing out of His control. And Job finally submits and says, Lord, I'm yours. Like, whatever happens, it's great. And I'm just going to trust you. In Job 42, let's read verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do what? Everything. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes, for my wrong thinking, for the way I thought I maybe was trying to figure this out. God, I'm just going to trust you. Forgive me for my thoughts I've had. I'm just going to follow you. God then tells his friends who tried to help, who gave wrong counsel, they need to get right with God. And then we jump back into this in verse number 10. It says this, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and to eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. All of a sudden, all of his family and friends, cousins, nephews, whatever, who, when he was going through the trial, stayed far away from him, now they all come back. Verse number 12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had not 7,000 sheep, but now he has how many? 14,000 sheep. Now he doesn't have 3,000 camels. He has how many? 6,000. He no longer has 500 yoke of oxen. He has how many? 1,000. He doesn't just have 500 she-asses. Now he has how many? 1,000. What did God do with all of his possessions from before? He doubled them. Which, by the way, that was Job's wife's too. Double reward. Verse 13, he also had how many sons? 7. And how many daughters? 3. You say, well, he didn't double the kids. Ah, big important lesson here. Look at me. Because he didn't lose the kids. They were still just as much their children. They would see him again in heaven one day. Didn't need to double. They were still there. David said when his child died, I cannot bring him back to me, but I can go to him one day. Amen? And it says this, these three daughters especially. Look at this, verse 14. And he called the name of the first. And he has these three daughters now. You know, he had his sons, but he has these three daughters. And notice in verse 15 what it says about these daughters. In all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Mr. and Mrs. Job, they have these three daughters. They were the most beautiful ladies in all the land. The name of them, the first one there in that verse number 14, there's a glance at it. The first one was Yamima, which means this, the darkness is over. A new day. Isn't that awesome? The darkness is over. Then he has this next daughter. Her name is Keziah, which means this, the stench is gone, a smell of beauty. And then he has a third daughter, and her name is Karen Apuk, which means this, the tears are wiped away, and it means a horn of paint. In other words, the tears are wiped away and the face is made back into a beautiful thing of beauty. I believe when you look at those three ladies, which the Lord focuses on the daughter, right? What are the sons' names? I don't know. But he focuses on the daughters. And when you look at those three daughters' names, which were born to Job's wife, when you look at those three daughters' names, that's exactly what Job's wife went through. The darkness is gone. A new day. The stench, the horribleness has been removed and a smell of beauty. The tears are wiped away. Beauty has returned. And just one last thought as we look at this. says in verse 15 something extremely odd, which never, ever, 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 ever happened. Look at verse 15. It says, in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Back in those days, in those Bible times, the firstborn got the most. Other things would be divided amongst the sons. But Job gave these three daughters an inheritance among their brethren. Now I know, drawing some conclusion, but I cannot help, after praying and reading all this and seeing and looking at Job's wife and her faithfulness and what all she went through and the hurt that she went through, I believe that Job saw in his three daughters his wife. I believe he named them what the names that he did because of what she had gone through. And there was a reward at the end, an inheritance. In this world, my friends, we're going to go through hurt. It's real, without a doubt. Our hurt is probably going to cause us to think things we shouldn't have thought and say things maybe we shouldn't have said. But we need to be committed to our Lord. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and you have no relationship with the Lord, I encourage you today, run to Him. He'll save your soul today, and you can leave today with a relationship with your Creator. How awesome. But then going through the hard times, don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your family. And do not give up on that future. Someday God will wipe all the tears away. And the reward, oh, it's real. The reward will be there. One day all of our mourning will be turned into laughter. One day all the dust and ashes will be turned into glory. One day there'll never be a cry and a moan and hurt again, but a voice lifted in prayer and praise and honor to our King. Job's wife, I've always just seen her as that person who just got frustrated and said, Job, just curse God and die. I don't think that's the Job's wife that is in the Scripture. I think if that's the Job's wife, God would have corrected her and pointed that out. But she's still there at the end. She's receiving all these blessings. She's receiving all these rewards. Because those who are faithful, there will be a crown of rejoicing one day. Heaven will be worth it all. We sang just a minute ago in our congregational song, which does Jesus care? And I read the book of Job, and did he care what was going on? Yeah. Do I believe Jesus hurt when he watched everything that Job and how Job hurt? I do believe it. God knew the future. God knew what lied ahead. Praise the Lord, Job. He stood faithful. You may be here today and you may be in the midst of that hurt. You may be still scarred from a hurt. Let's learn the lesson from Job's wife today. Instead of in any way running away and quitting and throwing our hands up, let's search our hearts. If there's sin in our life, let's get it right. But if not, let's just be faithful. Let's lean on our Creator. Let Him give us strength. I know it's a different type of sermon. I'm not running around. I'm not hollering, screaming, jumping on things. There's a great lesson here. And this is real life. And you can run to Him today and say, God, I need strength. God, I need Your help. And He'll run to you today. He'll lift you up. And if you're lost today, He'll save your soul today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?